Blog Talk Radio.
On this beautiful fall, autumn, Thursday afternoon here in America. It is 3 p.m. here in New York. It is out on the West Coast. It is 12 noon. So I want to wish a happy afternoon to a special person. He lives out there, and he is out there, and we're going to speak to him right now out there. And he just sent me a text message. It is Jay Logan. Hello, Jay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ian. I'm doing great out here. It's kind of sunny out here in the wonderful West Coast. Everything is doing great out here. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm okay. I'm good. I'm great. I'm well rested. I made some pancakes for breakfast. It's been a very nice morning. It's slow. Well, relaxing day so far up until now, where we've got a very special show today, Jay. It is special.
Wonderful.
This is a special show as we are going to be talking about, really, about the discovery of music. And not so much from a historical aspect, even though that will be mentioning, but we're going to be discussing just really how do you find out music? Where does it come from? Where does it go? It's some things we've discussed in the past on our show, but I feel like today would be a cool idea to go a little bit more in depth. Like, I will tell you, like maybe an hour or so before this show, Jay, it's like, you're familiar, I'm sure, with certain Bay Area heavy metal, super successful, one of the biggest bands in the world, the biggest bands in the history of the world, Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Lou Reed, you know, like the Velvet Underground and Lou Reed, you know Lou Reed. This is like the biggest surprise for me that I just saw this. Someone posted it on one of the music blogs which I follow, which I am a fan of on Facebook, that Lou Reed and Metallica have recorded an album together.
Wow.
How interesting is that? And they're streaming it on their website for free right now for the next week or so before it is officially released in 2 weeks. It was something, and I probably would have never heard about it if it wasn't for the fact that someone posted it on Facebook. I know, like, if I was listening to a radio station, no one's mentioned saying, oh, wow, Lou Reed and Metallica have an album together. So
wow. That's
just one way to discover music, Jay. I mean,
right.
Recently, Jay, like, I mean, seriously, like, it's like one of these things where it's like there's something that you may have never heard of, like whether it's two very successful artists who you wouldn't necessarily see them touring together. You wouldn't see one being the opening act for the other or having a double bill recording an album together. I mean, like, there have been some very cool mashups going on, and it has been fun. And that is something where it's like, how do you find out about music? I mean, Jay, I will open up the question for you right now. How do you find out about music?
Well, actually, I go out to different venues and I talk to people in the crowd and socialize in real time. I don't use the Facebook thing or the other social media stuff, and I go out and I ask, and people should usually share information, you know. We went to see a group called Tower Power. It's been around in the Bay Area for years. And I was talking to a young man from Germany. And he was telling me, we have these German groups out. I can't recall the name of the group he was talking about. But he was able to share his generation and tell me about newer groups that are coming out. He shared one group called Kids These Days. And so I've been researching on this group, Kids These Days. And I don't know if you're familiar with the group Kids These Days. I've been checking them out. They've been around since maybe the early 2000s. And I think they might be from all over the place. And so that's how I usually find out. I go out and I go out and find out. That's one way. The other way is, you know, we all search the web for new music. We all use the Internet to see what we can see. And see what we can get for free, you know, pretty much. And a lot of times, a lot of the groups or different websites, and they're offering samples of their music that you could listen to and enjoy and get you hooked in there. And then you end up going to buy their CD. You end up going to their site and say, hey, I like that. What was that song? And you go download their CD for, you know, $5. And that's how I usually find out. About most of the groups, and that's how I find out.
Excellent. I've created a list, Jay, of different ways that I've discovered music over time, and I'd like to go over them one at a time, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on them. I'll start out actually backwards from where I started to, like, from the future into the present, or even the past. First thing is, they're the opening acts. Like, I've been to so many concerts where there's an opening act. Sometimes it might be a band which you might have never heard of, where you're paying tickets to see this big name act, and they've got someone you've never heard of. And that's the way you get introduced to them. I still remember it was back in 1999. Wow, a long time ago. I was at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, which no longer exists. It was the home of the Phillies and the Eagles, and I had tickets for Dave Matthews Band. And it was a big stadium show. I mean, there's like, must have been like 60,000 people there. And they had two opening acts, not just one, there were two. I'll go in reverse order. The band that came on just before Dave Matthews was Santana. I mean, you can't go wrong with Santana. And I know, being in the younger audience I really didn't know so much about them. It was the year that they released Supernatural, which had that huge, gigantic hit in Smooth with Rob Thomas. Then there was also Love of Your Life, which was another song on the album, which actually Dave Matthews provided vocals to. But you know what? I think, the long-lasting thing about that opening act at that show was the very first band that came on. This is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they had this local act come on that I had never really heard of before. I mean, they're very super famous and successful right now, but I'll just tell you, there was this rap group that had a band, or a band that raps. Can you guess who it is, Jay?
The Roots? I don't know. What?
You got it. It was The Roots. I had never heard of The Roots before. And this was, as I said, back in 1999. I was just very much interested in just rock music, not so much about hip-hop at that time. And it was just an amazing experience just hearing this group, which I had never heard about, but they were doing something very different from any of the rock bands or like the alternative rock bands of the 90s or even like the rap groups of that decade. And it was an amazing thing. And that is just one example of success from an opening act. I know, like, years ago, I used to have this old friend named Chris, who I haven't spoken to in years. I still remember he told me once he went with some friends to see Van Halen, and this was where they had the third singer, whose name I can't remember. But they didn't go there to see Van Halen. They went there to see the opening act, which was Creed, which this is before they exploded. Like, I mean, the fact is, sometimes there are people who will go to a concert for the opening act, and they will leave after the opening act plays.
Uh-huh.
Like, one big example is, I don't even remember who the headliner was, but it was in the 1970s, or was it maybe 1980? I'm not sure what year it is. Someone could do the math. Where it was at Madison Square Garden. As I said, I do not know who actually was the headliner that night. But the opening act was Bob Marley. And
wow.
Madison Square Garden was packed to see Bob Marley. And after he got off the stage and someone else got on the stage, most of the people left. That show, just to imagine, like, if he was still around, I'm sure he would have headlined Madison Square Garden on his own many times.
Right.
Jay, have you ever had any experiences about, like, opening acts you've seen that have grown with you and become, like, the musicians that you listen to now and admire?
Well, I went to see the Commodores way back when, and this guy got on the stage, and it started raining, and so they had this guy, he came on the stage, and I was like, who is this guy? And he said, this is Luther Vandross. I was like, Luther Vandross? Who is Luther Vandross? Well, you know, it's raining, and I said, I want to see the Commodores. Well, this guy got on the stage, and he started singing, and
wow.
I started getting this warm feeling inside, you know, I felt he had this album I never heard of, and it was just him. He had his band. You could tell he was opening act for the Commodores, and his voice made the rain just warm. It just warmed my whole heart. I was just pleased to sit out there and sit in the rain and listen to Luther Vandross. And then I realized who he was because back then I was a member of the Musicians Union, and I got to see all the contracts that came through the Musicians Union, and I saw I won't share what they paid Luther, but it wasn't that much. And I got to see some of the contracts. And then I was a fan of Luther Vandross ever since. Didn't know that he was going to be the big star that he became. But the fact that, that's why I started liking him before I even heard any of his music. And he opened up for the Commodores. He was their opening act. And,
what year was that, if you remember?
It might have been. I don't remember the year, but I know the Commodores had a song out, Too Hot to Trot or something like that or something. Something like that, Too Hot to Trot or Lady or something like that. And they were big. They were still big, I think. The other way I was saying, you know, everybody knows about Pandora. You know, you can go to these other live music discoveries, but there are other sites you could go to. One of them is Audio. I don't know, AWDIO, and that's one site. That's a good method to discover new music, and you can listen. It's live music stream from like clubs. I don't know if you're familiar with Audio. Shazam is one. That gives you kind of a quick satisfaction when you want to know the song that's playing and learn about the artist and you want to buy the song immediately, you can go there. The other one is iLike, which is an online service that allows us to, like, download and share music. And that website makes use of Apple's iTunes, so you can do that. And the other one that we can share with our users is a couple of more. I like to share the Filter. Filter is pretty good place where you can filter music for different kind of ways that will reflect your taste. Like you can put in, I like this kind of music, I like that kind of music, and it'll filter through all the music aggregators and find that genre of music for you. Everybody knows iTunes Genius, you know, you could use that also. So I just want to share Ian a couple of ways that, you know, you can find music. The last thing, Ian, is I don't know if you're familiar with Taste Kid. That kind of you
Taste
suggest.
Kid?
Yeah, it's called Taste Kid. T-A-S-T-E, Kid. And you kind of suggest the band, the music, or whatever. There's movies and books based on what you like. And then it'll give you a readout, I would say that, or give you a library of things you can choose from. So those are
wow.
some of the ways that, yeah, those
oh,
are some of the ways where
right
you can.
Right now, this is amazing. Taste Kid.
Yeah.
This is definitely cool, and it's funny because I'm reading a lot of things where it says things are similar, and I like that. That is nice. And
yeah, so
this algorithm, this is, it really does, in some ways, like go into an algorithm. Like it's kind of like what Pandora does with their just algorithms, and that it's not like the way they choose what music to play to play on a station that's based around a band is really based on your preferences and based on the music and the buildup of the music, and it is a very intelligent system. That is just amazing, Jay.
So, you know, those are ways that you get people out there, you can probably, hey, you know, Ian, I would love you to put that on our site so people will know about some of those sites, and especially Taste Kid is, you know, it's cool. It's a cool thing, place to go. You can suggest whatever, movies, shows, books, you know, everything, and it'll give you things, stuff that you might
wow,
send to the
I can see that. That is amazing. Hold on. I'm actually going to put this on our Parents Kids Music Facebook page right now, facebook.com/Parents Kids Music. And it has kid in the title, so that makes it even nicer. It is Taste
right.
Kid, and it is Taste-y. It is delicious.
Right.
All right, so one other unique way I feel has been a way to discover music over the last few years has, it's an older medium, it's television, but it's kind of turned away from what it used to be, where you'd have TV shows, where you'd have the musical guest on the show, or you'd have like a artist or performer, a special guest star. Like, I'm finding, like, one of the biggest places, especially since radio airplay has fallen, has been actually television commercials. Like, how many songs have become successful or have become noticed because they were in an Apple commercial?
Oh, wow. Yes, yeah.
Apple, we know, has been always a big deal with iTunes and with record labels. And that they sell music, but fact is, you see these artists who you've never heard of, ones that are not playing on the Z100s and the top 40 radio stations of the world, and all of a sudden, people are like, wow, that is cool. This song stands out. Who are they? Like, you've got, like, Feist, who was in a iPod commercial, I believe it was for the Nano. You had this Israeli singer whose name kind of fell, I can't think of right now, but she had a song that was in the very first MacBook Air commercial, to the point where when you think of certain products, you think of that song. Like, there was like this instrumental song in 2007 that was in the very first commercial for the iPhone. And it's just become memorable because even though people might not listen to the radio, people might be watching TV, they might not be watching the same show, but those commercials are ubiquitous. They go everywhere. One company that has a giant advertising budget where their commercials are everywhere is Geico. I mean, Jay, when was the last time you saw a Geico commercial?
I just saw him walking through on an expedition, walking through the front parking lot. Just saw him like maybe an hour ago. The little guy. The little lizard guy.
What's the gecko?
So, yeah, I saw him, you know, he was going on an expedition, and then he ended up walking through the parking lot and he said, well, I'm going to go out here and save everybody a bunch of money on their insurance, and he wouldn't stop until he finally does this great, great expedition, and then he ends up outside in front of the parking lot. He didn't go too far.
Well, you know, there are so many commercials everywhere, and although not all of them have music, I mean, some do. Like, a few years ago, there was that video, that Three Doors Down video, or that song where you had the commercial with the caveman who, like right out of the subway station, it was like, I'm a caveman, growl, growl. Or then there was that one from this, European electronic band called Royksop, where the name might not be a household name, but that song has led to, really has led to the success of this band. It's like songs called Remind Me. It was one of the, maybe it was like in 06 or 07, where it was a commercial with the caveman.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was obsessed with that song, and I was, like, doing Google searches. What is that song from the commercial? What is it? Until one day, I finally found it, and I spent the $1 to download it because, like, wow, that is actually a cool song.
What about Coldplay? Coldplay had that, what was that song they had for the iPod? I think it's Speed of Sound or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. I remember that.
Yeah.
Their iPod.
Yes, that was their iPod commercial. I remember when U2 had their, when their song Vertigo came out, and that was focused on the iPod. I mean, that probably really helped them. Of course, they also kind of, I think they kind of hurt themselves later when they left Apple and they started doing commercials for BlackBerry.
Right.
Or it's like the fact is you can actually see, like, I mean, U2 compared to Feist or Royksopp is a established, super successful rock band. I mean, Coldplay is certainly in that same level where it's like you know who they are. This is like, it's kind of like a celebrity spokesperson saying, hi, I'm this famous person you already know, buy this product. So there's that direction.
Yeah, I'm looking here and it says that song was original of the Species, the YouTube song. And yeah, that's I wonder how much they got paid for doing that because that's they're a big group. That's amazing that the royalties from that could have been huge.
Yes, I mean, like, the commercials itself, like, it's one thing to, I mean, that goes back to TV where you have a song where it becomes the theme song for a television show. Like, I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the air or off the air in the past, but you've got Superhero by Jane's Addiction, which was not a single from their album originally. It was not the song because Jane's Addiction, as you know, was a band. They were from the 90s. They broke up. They came back in the early 2000s. They had a new album. And this one song, Superhero, was chosen by chance to be the theme song for the HBO show Entourage. And I know a lot of people, when that show first came out or when they first started listening to that show, like, I mean, that is the theme song for Entourage. It's kind of like the Friends theme song is the theme song for Friends. And it's something where it's like, even like when you have like, I mean, Jane's Addiction was an established band. I mean, they're probably not on the level of, definitely not on the level of success of Coldplay and definitely not of U2. I mean, it's still, the fact is, you this song was discovered because it is a theme song on a television show. I mean, they're just, Jay, that's what today's been about, really. Like, so many different other ways.
So what we're saying is TV commercials have become a source for discovering new music and new songs and new entertainment.
Yeah,
that's amazing too. So that's wonderful. So that takes you out of the radio. They get you on the TV, so you can see them on TV, find out the new breakout singles, and you know that takes you to the Super Bowl. You know, when you see those commercials and you hear all the new music behind them. It's a never ending story. You know. Some of the stuff, too, is like the Tide commercials and some of the other groups that you see. You see the commercial on TV, and then you can go to iTunes and download the song, and that's kind of amazing. I look at Target, even the Target commercials. So now that shows how product and music goes together and how you can see new talent.
Absolutely. And we do have a surprise special guest. Hello, are you there, Gail?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. We were just wrapping things up, talking about how TV commercials in some way have become the new radio airplay because people watch TV a lot more than they listen to the radio. And you've got these advertisers who using both unknown artists and also the super gigantic successful ones it's really become a way of discovering music because they say that you need to hear a marketing message six times before it gets to you. If you've heard this song for six times,
Ian, are you giving us a little tip there? Where did you hear that you hear marketing message six times before it gets to the person? Come on, spit out the secrets, guy.
I don't remember where that came from, to be honest.
Ian,
Gail, do you know where that came from?
No. Are you holding back tips from us, Ian?
I'm not holding tips at all, Gail. Tell me what's going on.
Well, everything's fine, but I just heard some interesting information, Mr. Eisenberg, and, you know, we all want to know about that. You have any other interesting tips for us around music at all?
I think that there's lots of music going on. I mean, there's just so many. I think the biggest thing is so much about discovering it is I think there are people that really just want to stand on the rooftops and tell people, this is my favorite song, this is my favorite band, I love this, you should listen to this. But then there's other people who want to be like, I want to find out about new music. Where can I go to find new music? Should I turn on a radio station? Should I go to Spotify and look for playlists?
You know, Ian and Jay, that's a really good question. And, I'm actually putting that question back to both of you because, you know, there's so many artists out there, okay? And how do we get to a point, Ian and Jay, that we can determine which is the best place to go? I mean, because there's just so many opportunities out there to find them, but I don't think that we can find enough of the eclectic mix that's out there because it's the same old thing, Spotify, this or that. Do you guys have any new stuff or any ideas that maybe the kids and and everyone else can check out?
I do, Gail. Some of the kids, they're on this site called Mies, and they go on there and they socialize, and you can buy a Mies card. And when you go in these little rooms, guess what? They have a virtual DJ. So this guy is in these rooms, and these kids are chatting, and all through the day they're playing new songs for the kids, and not just new songs, some of the older artists that the young kids haven't heard, and they're playing new songs. So it's kind of incredible. So you go inside, it's like going to a virtual club, and you might be 12 or 14. You go in and you talk to your friends, and while you're talking and typing and having fun in there, they're constantly playing the DJs are playing music inside those rooms. So that's kind of a new thing that's going on there. And I don't know if people are getting royalties or they know their song is being played virtually, but it's kind of amazing because my daughter was in one of the rooms and they played one of my songs, and I couldn't believe it. I said, "Wow!" She said, "Hey, Daddy, they playing this is your song." And I put the headphones on, and they were playing Rumors. So it's kind of weird, you know. That's another way that young kids, it's a fight for like maybe 12 to 16 year olds go to, and you can find brand new music, new as well as old music, and new. It's a wonderful thing. So that's another way you could go in and find new music.
What about you, Ian? Any other places you think people that you stumble across people can find new music?
I think that really that there are just so many different nodes. There's so many different places to bring that. I know one which we've mentioned on the show before is Turntable, where it's more of a game of finding peers who like music similar to you, and people will just play their own songs and songs from their own libraries, and it's all kosher. Like all the record labels have deals, so you can just upload an MP3 from your computer and just play it, and they've got permission from the record company. And the idea is you're in a club and you're dancing to music that's being played by people other than you, and you instantly, automatically find out what is this music, who is the artist, and how do I buy this song, or how do I download it on Spotify. I still think that music discovery is something where it's just not one clear thing, and I'm sure there will continuously be new ways to discover music.
I was just thinking about something, Ian, as you were speaking. You know, speaking of Spotify, I was on there yesterday, and you know, I didn't think I was going to like Beyonce's new album. I've really been back and forth, and she's so much coming to her own on this new album. And I said, I went to Rhapsody, and Rhapsody wants you to pay for the subscription. So I went back to Spotify. I found every single song that I wanted from Beyonce on Spotify that I could listen at my whim anytime. And it was really cool. You know, and that is the kind of thing that makes me want to buy the song, because I could listen to it on Spotify at any time I wanted to. So it's like, okay, yeah, if I really want to have this for myself, let me go buy it. So, you know, based off what you and Jay are saying, it's really interesting. Ian, I have to agree with you. There's no one particular way or one set way that one can get music. It's so many different ways. And then both of you kind of talking about these rooms, it must be so cool, Ian and Jay, for people to go in rooms and discover new music. You know, Ian, I want to go back to this question with you and Jay. You know, the two sites you're talking about, like, Ian, have you been in one of those rooms that you're talking about on Turntable?
Yes, I've been onto Turntable FM, and I found it to be fun, and just it's really something where the people that are in that room can actually vote up or down a song. If enough people don't like it, down that song and vote it down, that song stops and then the next song starts playing.
And
like,
what about you,
really,
Jay? It really was. No, go ahead with that that thought, Ian.
I'm saying it really was a social collaboration where it's not this one unidirectional radio station saying this is what's good and this is not what's good. You're getting instant poll results. You're getting instant result feedback about is this song good? Are these people, whether you know them or not them, do they have good taste? I'm sure there are certain rooms where we could put on a Metallica song and that people will like it. And if you put that same song in a different room with a different group of virtual people, they would dislike it.
Interesting. You know, speaking of that, putting them in a different room and liking and disliking, Jay, you know, when you went in that room and you were listening to the music that your daughter was listening to, did you find it similar? Was it fun to you? Did you kind of play around and go into different rooms? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, you could go into different, yeah, it was amazing because you could go in your rooms and people would follow you in different rooms. And they had like a concert room where they had a virtual band playing. Then they also had a room where people were dancing and just chatting. And then, then you had your own house where you can invite people to your kind of virtual house and just talk and turn on your radio program and, the music would be played. So that was kind of amazing that you could do that, because I didn't know what she was doing in there, Gil. You know, so I'm like, what is she doing? And she's bobbing her head. So I said, what are you listening to? And they're constantly pumping music to the kids, and so kids are picking up on new music, so you wonder what your kid is singing when she gets in the car, and she's singing something from the virtual room. And I was just making double sure that she was listening to something that was PG and was nice, making sure every now and then you got to go check on them. But, yes, there are other rooms you could go to and different places you can go to within those virtual sites. That's kind of amazing. It's kind of like – and what's good about it is global. There's different music from all over the world, not just American music. Think about it, was some music from India, and she let me hear it, and some sitar type of thing going on in one of the rooms. So you got kids who prefer, they get to share their music throughout that virtual site. It's kind of cool. I was going to share also, Gail, there's a thing that I go to, and it's called the Hype Machine. And it's kind of like a place where you can go and blog about, you can kind of blog about your music and you can talk to other people, and then they'll put your music up so people can kind of, like what E was saying, kind of judge it. And it's great. You get to read about people writing about the music they like, and they get to put the tracks up so you can hear them. And the Hype Machine brings all this together where people can listen to each other's music.
Hey, Jay,
mm-hmm.
I have a little secret for you. We knew about the Hype Machine. I did.
What? I didn't know. See, I found that something new for me. So that's good.
No, that's really great. That sounds really cool. Well, guys, I enjoyed hanging out with you today. And, Ian, thanks again as usual. And, Jay, thanks again as usual for having me on.
Well, Gil, thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Gil.
All right. Okay, well, guys, mm-hmm. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show, and thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. You have an excellent day. Enjoy your music.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye. Well, thank you very much, Gail, for joining us. So, Jay, do you have any final thoughts about discovery of music going from a traditional way of TV and radio to really the 2.0 stuff that Gail was really bringing about having just that instant gratification, instant feedback about, is this song good or not? I mean, one thing that just came up with me is it's a way you could actually probably even test out songs by new artists, by trying to find its audience and seeing if people like it or not.
Yeah, with the new technology involved, it's kind of really interesting. And now they have these software programs where you yourself can create new music that you have created yourself in your own home on your laptop, and then you can send that music right after you create it. You can send it right to iTunes, and so you got so many different ways now. One of the programs is called Studio One, which is made by a company called ProSonus. And right when you finish that song, you have you just click a button, goes right to iTunes, and the whole world can hear it. And they got a lot of programs that do this and have this feature, but that's one of the companies that, they send out new music. So now anybody almost can have a new song or new music, and the world is getting a lot smaller. And this is where we come to now. Everybody has a chance. Technology has brought everybody, all the kids. They got a program called Fruity Loops, and they make their new music, and they just post it. So now you've got all these different choices. So it's the music galaxy. So anybody now can have new music. So you can go out and share it and listen to all the new music you want to now. A lot of stuff is free, too. Some of the stuff you don't even have to pay for. It's legal. So that's a good way. And they have sites that have new artists, new music, and a lot of these people come out of nowhere and they get a hit record. So, you know, and then it's an, all of a sudden there's a band that follows. So, hey, what a wonderful place we live in.
What a great place to find music. So I invite you and everyone listening to find some music, create music, be music, and music. I agree. Don't you want to music, Jay?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. So let's all music together.
So, yeah, I have a question for you.
Yes, you do. For me.
Yes. What is your treasure.net? What is your treasure for today?
What is my treasure? You know, I was wondering if you were going to ask me that, because I was about to ask that same question to you. Wow. Talk about a coincidence. Well, my treasure today is that I'm going to have a nice little few days off to relax. I've been working very crazy the last few months, and I'm going to take a few days off and relax in a few, like, early next week, and I'm looking forward to that. And, Jay, what is your treasure?
Well, my treasure for this week is I got to see my older daughter, graduate and get her B.A. in psychology. And that's my treasure for today. I'm so proud of her, and they said her name, and luckily my name was tagged to the last part of her name, which made me feel really good. And that's my treasure. All this is about educating your kids. She's a musical, and she went to school and did what she had to do, and so now she has a ticket to knock on the door. That doesn't guarantee anything, but she has a ticket. So that's what my treasure is today.
Wow. Well, Jay, thank you once again for another excellent show. Thank you to Gail Davis for joining us. And we will be back next week at the same time. That will be next Thursday at 3 p.m. on the East Coast, 12 noon on the West Coast. Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you, Jay.
Yes, and go out and find some new music, by the way, everybody, because it's out there.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's all music together. Here on Parents Kids Music, we will hear you next week. Thank you.